Glory to God. The title of my message today is, We're Under Attack. It says in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 13, that now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. Wow. What we're going through here in America is a lot like the time of Hezekiah and what he went through in Judah. We're trying to fence ourselves. Quickly, we're starting to see the attacks upon all that we thought were our allies. We have seen this, and I'm going to say more as we go along, but we are under attack. And I think so much people have forgotten that we're under attack. That's the deception of all this. Because the way we're being attacked, and I see many are falling asleep, because as you'll see that this attack is not just a physical attack, but it's a spiritual attack. And it isn't just on us, but it's on the whole world. And if we don't stay awake, or if we don't wake up, we're going to die, both naturally and spiritually. And so my word to you is to wake up and get ready and get busy. 1941, I was thinking about this yesterday, and I believe the Lord was speaking to me, and how quickly we were in war. You know, we were recognized as like a sleeping giant. Remember that? Finally woke up after the attack, but we went quickly to work, and boy, we overcame the enemy, and thank God, but it took a lot. But we got the victory. In 2001, of course, we've had some wars between 1941 and 2001, but here we are 60 years later in 2001, we are again in a war that has caught us in many ways sleeping. It wasn't Pearl Harbor, but of course it was New York City and areas near that. But we're still not awake is what I believe, because the nature of this war is much different than all the others. It is truly a spiritual war in a sense, as well as a natural war that has caught the church sleeping. And I believe the church has yet to awaken, a lot of it, to the nature of this end-time-like war, because they don't realize the hour that they're in.
That's right.
Instead of combating the way they ought to, according to the Word, I see the church compromising.
Amen.
And because of that compromising, it's trouble. The church thinks all is well, when in fact the church is like the Laodicean church, talked about in Revelation chapter 3. In nature, that's the way they are. And if you don't know what the Laodicean church is, well, just read about it in Revelation 3, and you'll see that they're neither hot nor cold. They just believe that all is well. Wow, look out. It has been 6 years since the 9/11 attack, and slowly the church is awakening, I believe. The warfare is worldwide, and the enemies are different. A few watchmen on the wall have taken notice and are sounding the alarm. But you know, for the most part, the church is still not really in prayer mode or watch mode. America is paying for her unrepented sins of abortion, the deletions of prayer and Bible curriculum in the schools, the drug use, the promotions of witchcraft, like the Harry Potter series that we see. What's going to come after the Harry Potter series? It's only going to get worse, I believe.
Right.
Internet pornography, false God worship promotion, sexual promiscuity, the homosexual agenda. These are unrepented sins that are being promoted in America. The story of Sennacherib in the Bible is similar, or somewhat similar, to our present situation here in America. Let's look at history and see the problems and see how King Hezekiah responded. Let's see how we should respond. Or let me say this, how we should have responded. That may be a strong word, and you're saying, whoa, look out. Who's this preacher that would dare say that we didn't respond correctly? Well, if we look at history and we see the victories that was won, we might be able to see where maybe we could have done something different. But because we didn't, we're going to see this thing go on and on and on. And maybe you'll realize we're in the last days. So many people just don't want to face that fact that we're in the last days. That means that maybe they need to get right with God. Well, that's what we're saying to you, to wake up and get right with God. In 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 14, I'm going to share a lot with you about what happened. King Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria, to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria, I want to make a point there, that that's how we were attacked. Osama bin Laden, he was offended. He shared how he was offended in the past, and so he came and attacked America because of his offense. And so the king of Assyria appointed unto King Hezekiah of Judah, this is what he wanted him to do, to give him 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. I'm going to make a point about this in just a minute. And in verse 15, so how did King Hezekiah respond? He gave him all the silver that was found where? In the house of the Lord. Wow. God forbid that we would give all our money to the enemy. I'm not sure if that's really the answer. Well, I'm going to make a point in a second. And he gave him all the silver that was found in the treasure of the king's house. Verse 16. And at that time did Hezekiah, know what he did? He cut off all the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord. He just began to tear everything apart from the pillars which King Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. My point is this. Money can't save. But the Maker can. Verse 19 we go, three verses later in 2 Kings, verse 18, Rabshakeh, that's how I'm going to pronounce his name, said unto them, speak ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? You see, the enemy doesn't give up. He wants to destroy, and he's a deceiver, okay? He makes a lot of promises. Oh yeah, give me this and I'll be satisfied. Or we see real quickly he's not. And he says, thou sayest, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for the war. Okay, now he's going to belittle King Hezekiah. And he says, now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt. And I think of America and how we have trusted some of our allies. Amen. Amen. As we look at the war, we look at Britain or England. Amen. And this is what he says, and I'm going to make a point here, on which if a man lean, this is what the king of Assyria is saying, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. Well, I believe that we're going to see this. Who is the leader of England? A fellow by the name of Tony Blair. And I'm watching in the news now how Tony Blair, he's in an alliance now with 10 other kings, if you were, prime ministers. And they're trying to make a peace treaty. A peace treaty, really, that's very similar to what I read in the Bible of a peace treaty. We're seeing so many similarities of what the Bible says is a time of great destruction. A time of the beast rising up out of the sea, as the scripture tells us in Revelation chapter 13. And as I was watching this on the news, boy, I see it how it could easily come against our hand and pierce it. And so the king of Assyria, he says, so is the king of Egypt unto all that trust on him. We got to be careful who we're trusting. Are we looking to man or are we looking to Almighty God? Well, we're going to learn about who really Hezekiah looked to. All right? Let's go on. And it says in verse 22, but if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is that not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away? Now I already know, I've read in Scripture about King Hezekiah. And he took down the high places of false worship. And I'm sure that that got spread around, the news of this. He didn't take down the high places unto God, but he took down the high places of false worship. Because of all these altars being taken down, word got out. And I think the enemy thought that, hey, they're getting rid of their gods. They don't have any strength. And so he gives them a lie here because, no, Hezekiah was not that type of person. It goes on to say, and hath said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. Oh, wow. But I think about our high places in America. I got to speak this because it needs to be said. What are our high places in America? I think we've been replacing God with something. I really do. As I see in our country and as I look around and as I read the papers and I see the things that are rising up in the land, the gambling places and all that, just to generate money. I see these things. I'm going to say that these are high places of false prosperity and false peace. All these things that I'm seeing going on. Well, I say false peace because I'm seeing compromise. Compromise of the truth. Compromise of the Word of God. I'm seeing the Constitution being compromised. I'm seeing changes going on in the land. I'm seeing a new world order that's being presented to us where we accept everybody in a way that we're not taking our stance for Almighty God. I see something that's happening that's going to be our demise in America. I do see this happening in America, but I want to share with you that Hezekiah was not doing this. Anyway, verse 23 of 2 Kings chapter 18 says, now therefore I pray thee, give pledges to my lord the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses. Now here's a false promise. If you'll do this, I'll do that. That's what he's saying. He says, if thou be able to, on thy part, to set riders upon them. Okay, so he's trying to actually set up a war. I'll give you artillery so that you can come against us and see if you can win. He says, how then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants? He's saying, you can't even defeat the least of our army. He says, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and horsemen. He says, am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? This is what he says. He says, the Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. What Lord? He's saying it was the true Lord. I don't believe so. Not unless they were in sin. Well, verse 26, this was getting to be kind of heavy. And the Jews were hearing this, and they were hearing it in their own language. And so some Jews spoke up, you know, and said, hey, don't speak to us in our language. Speak to us in your language. We'll understand it. But don't be speaking this to dishearten the ears of the people that are on the wall that are listening. Oh, you got to be careful how you speak to the enemy. Because I'll tell you what, then the filth comes out. And that's exactly what happened in verse 27. And I want to share with you this kind of filth that I'm about to read to you that comes out of the mouth of Rabshakeh is the kind of filth that our present enemy has in their heart and in their mind. That's why we need to wake up. This is what he said unto them. In verse 27, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you? Now that's pretty filthy. And you say, wow, a preacher speaking such things. But that's the attitude, that's the spirit of the enemy that's coming against us. They don't think anything of us. In fact, if you read their Bible and the nation that's coming against us, like you know the Muslim religion, they call us infidels. Anybody who doesn't convert to their religion is an infidel, and they have words in their own Bible that says to kill the infidel.
That's right.
And you know what? Doesn't that sound like the attitude of Goliath? The Goliath came in and roared just like that, and you know, and tried to make us seem like he made us put fear into us. And that's the desire of Osama bin Laden and company, is to put fear into us. We don't have to fear anything if we have the Spirit of the living God living within us, which so many do not have the Spirit of the living God. And so they're going to begin to fear. And you know what fear does? It brings compromise. People begin to give up on their worship of the Almighty God, their pure worship, and they begin to give in. Just because of that pressure. And I tell you, God does not want us to give in. So, Rabshakeh, He stood and cried out with a loud voice in the Jews' language, asked him not to do it, and he did it anyway, and he said, "Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand." He wants to dishearten the people. But do you know whose report, I'm going to say, do you believe? Whose report do you believe? Do you believe the report of the Lord? If you believe the report of the Lord, then you can be like Joshua and Caleb and says, yeah, there's giants that are coming against us, but we can overcome them. We can overtake them. Well, he goes on to say, neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. Now he's coming against the people and telling them, don't listen to Hezekiah. That's the way the enemy works. He always says, don't listen to the preacher. Don't listen to the teacher of the Word of God. Don't listen to him. They're going to tell you to trust the Lord. Don't listen to him. And he goes on to say, the Lord will surely deliver us, saying, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not unto Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me. Now notice he says that, come out to me. What did Jesus say? Many Christs will come, false Christ will come and say, I am here and I am there. Well, already we're seeing that's the attitude. And that's what this false religion that is attacking our country would say. Come to us. Come out to us. He says, and then eat ye every man of his own vine and every one of his own fig tree. In other words, they're saying it'll be okay. Drink ye every one of the waters of his cistern. Until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine. Now here we go, false promises. Land of bread, vineyards, land of oil, olive and honey, that you may live and not die. Hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Then he tries to say this. He says this, and we need to hear this word. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? He goes on to say, where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? You know what I believe the Muslims would say today? Where are the gods of France? Where are the gods of Britain, Sudan, Spain, and Europe? See, these are nations that they're overcoming. They have invaded. And he says, they didn't deliver. So what makes you think that your God can deliver you now? The psychology that the king of Assyria is using. He says, have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? Well, 2 Kings 18:36 was the beginning of good things because it says the people held their peace. They shut up. They didn't respond. That's the key to the Lord being able to fight the battle. If we hold our peace, the Lord will fight our battle. Here's a question, I would say. What would have happened if we held our peace after 9-1-1 and truly prayed? What would have happened? It was the truth that while we were waiting on the UN, we made a decision to attack. But what would have happened if we waited a little bit longer? We'll never know now. And so we're going to pay the results, the price of the results there. And we have paid dearly in our country. So the people held their peace, it says in 2 Kings 18:36, and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, answer him not. Okay, that's what Hezekiah told them, and they did that. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, Shebna the scribe, Joah the son of Asaph the recorder, to Hezekiah, with their clothes rent. In them days when they were disrupted and knowing they were under attack, they ripped their clothes. They knew that something had to change. And what I say to you today is our hearts in America rent? Is our hearts torn over all that we are enduring presently? And I mean, are they ripped open? Are we really grieving? Man, I hear the heart of many Americans and say, as long as we got money coming in, everything's got to be okay. Somehow it's going to work out all right. I'm hearing this, as long as I get that paycheck, I'm not going to worry about it. Yeah, there's always been wars. And they take a very nonchalant attitude because of these wars. To the point they've fallen asleep. And they're not open. They're not changing, I'm saying here. Well, they came and told Hezekiah the words of Rabshakeh. 2 Kings 19:1, it came to pass that when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes. The rending of the clothes, the tearing apart of the clothes was revealing that their hearts were rent. You know, they knew that, what are we going to do? And they covered himself with sackcloth. I mean, he's in the mourning, you know. And I'm saying, our country is under attack. I'm not seeing the mourning. But I believe it's beginning to happen. I believe that the reality of this war is going to begin to bring forth a real mourning. The scripture tells us to be in mourning. I even had Christians say, well, what does that mourning mean? What do you mean? We should be rejoicing. But we should be in mourning as well over sin. We should have a hatred for sin. It goes on to say, they went into the house of the Lord, and he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, the elders of the priests. They covered with sackcloth, and they came to Isaiah. Okay, they came to a well-known prophet of the land. He was the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, they said to Isaiah, this day is a day of trouble, a day of rebuke, a day of blasphemy. And boy, we've heard a lot of that from our attacks in our country. You know, the videotapes, maybe there might be some cassette tapes, maybe letters, to show us it's a day of great trouble. For the children are come to birth. In other words, there's great travail, and there is not strength to bring forth. The people are troubled, and there's not strength to overcome, in other words. Hezekiah says, it may be that the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, sent to reproach, and hear me, reproach the living God. And that's exactly what's happening here. Our living God is being reproached. And will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer. Hezekiah is saying to Isaiah the prophet, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. And that's what we're trying to do with this last day message, with this last day effort, with the signs of the times, is to try to reach the remnant that is left. That is our present intercession. And in verse 5, so the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master, you know, Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard. That's what the Lord would say to us. No matter what the enemy says, be not afraid, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him. In other words, he's come against you with a lot of false words, and it's been like a blast. They blasted you. And the Lord says, now I'm going to blast upon them. It's like a strong wind, a breath, his word. And he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land. And I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. I want to comment here. Why does it seem so powerless for us to do anything presently? Could it be that unlike Hezekiah, we have altars to false gods in our land that have yet to be destroyed? Now think about this. And I'm talking about the remnant of believers. We have televisions and computers that are entertaining our hearts and causing them to depart from Almighty God. Not that televisions and computers are wrong, but many have gone to them and it has led them away from Almighty God. Because instead of taking the time to prayer, they're missing that prayer through the entertainment of it. Do we take drugs and visit psychologists for words that do not cure? Are we reading horoscopes and getting our information from guides and mediums who consult the underworld for advice? I'm hearing this about this Phil Jordan. Saw his name, picture, and a bunch in the paper again, making a big deal. Yeah, he's a minister of a church. But it's a false church. And many flock to him. Yet his strength and his spirit is being fed by the devil himself.
Right.
Wow. Are we gambling by paying our tithes to the lottery ticket business.
Sure.
That destroys more homes than delivers them. And I've seen many programs about how people got into that gambling business and their homes have been destroyed. They've lost their homes. They've lost their spouse. They've lost their children. They've lost everything they had. They lost their jobs because of that. Because they weren't tithing and giving unto God. And let God be their keeper and God be their provider. See, they wanted to try to do it on their own. You can't live your life before God on your own. Hello? The list goes on and on. We are a nation that is without repentance. More and more, it has become more important to become politically correct than positionally correct with Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ. We're seeing that now because we don't want to offend. See, that's the trick of the enemy. If we truly serve God, we will offend. That's just the way it is. We will offend. The rich young ruler, he came to Jesus and said, "What can I do to have eternal life?" Jesus says, "Sell all you have and follow me." He was very rich and very offended. He says, "With all that my Father has slaved for?" But he wasn't willing to give it all up to follow Jesus. If you're willing to give it all up to follow Jesus, who knows how God will provide for you? That rich young ruler walked away very sad. And of course, Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, and we know that can be difficult, to go through a little small hole in a wall, to kneel down. It's easier than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Let's go on with the story. 2 Kings 19:8 and Rabshakeh. He returns, and the enemy always will look to return, and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he had heard say of Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee, he sent messengers again unto Hezekiah, saying, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee. Okay, so again he's trying to cause trouble, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. He's trying to inflict fear. He's trying to say it's not going to happen. But it says here in verse 14 that Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers. He read it, and this is what Hezekiah did. He went up into the house of the Lord, and this is what he did. He spread it before the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us this, cast all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. Sometimes we'll go through a time where it seems like we have a lot of trouble that affect us. We get to the point where it's so much that we ourselves in our own strength can't handle the problem. And Peter tells us what we're to do with those problems. Don't take it in your own hands and try to handle it, but go to God and spread it before Him. Give your problem to God. In verse 15, this is what Hezekiah did. He prayed before the Lord. He said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, Thou art the God. Even Thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, Thou hast made heaven and earth. And who are we to go to today? As Christians, we go to Jesus. Jesus, who sits at the right hand of Almighty God, who has overcome all sin, death, hell, and the grave. We look to You, the overcomer, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to learn to address our God. Amen. And recognize who He is. And he says, Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which have sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations in their land. Okay, so he recognizes this is what has been happening. He says, and they have cast their gods into the fire. But he says, for they were no gods, though, but the work of men's hands, wood, stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech Thee, save Thou us out of His hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that Thou art the Lord Thy God. And then Isaiah sent word to Hezekiah, because you know when God hears, He wants to speak back to us. And He speaks through the mouth of servants. Amen. And Isaiah was a servant. And this is what he said to Hezekiah. Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. And he says a lot of things, and we're going to pick it up with verse 32. Thus saith the Lord God concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor shall he cast a bank against it. By the way he came, by the way shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that the angel of the Lord went out. God did this now. And he smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, or 185,000, were killed. The Lord did this. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed. He went and returned, and he dwelt at Nineveh. He went back home with his tail between his legs. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that king of Assyria, that his son smote him with the sword. See, just as God promised, he was going to be destroyed in his own land, and they escaped to the land of Armenia. Well, unfortunately for America, our story isn't going to end like this so quickly. Yes, our enemy will be defeated, hallelujah, but not before he rises to worldwide power and conquers the entire world. Our enemy will actually enter the city and declare himself as God. That's what the Bible says. He will enter into Jerusalem, come right into the temple and say, I am God. Our victory comes when our Savior Jesus Christ returns with us, the believing church. Are you a believer today? The Joshua believing church. Amen. Glory to God. I say that because it was Joshua who led Israel in to take all that God had promised. Amen. Who are preparing themselves to enter God's millennial kingdom and his thousand-year reign, which is coming so quick. Our Lord shall speak for himself and destroy the raging armies that are assembling today against Almighty God and all those who truly believe in him. We are under attack. Are you standing firm upon the promises of God? If yes, then you are ready for anything. If not, then what you are standing on is sinking sand. Come now to the Rock of Ages. Make Jesus your Lord and Savior today. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus will protect your soul from all harm. I'm leaving you with John 11:25-26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I don't know about you today, but I believe it. I made a declaration just recently, and I told him, I shall never die. I believe that. I shall never die. My physical body may be killed, but my soul shall live on. Those who do not believe in God's word, the Bible says is going to actually suffer a second death. Death and then death again. That tells me even their spirit is going to die in some form, in some way. I tell you what, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. But you know, the Lord came to give life and life more abundantly. Receive the word of the Lord today and come to know his life. Amen.